Good morning, and welcome here. You've already been welcomed, I guess. I'd just like to welcome you to the Bible study this morning. I was already blessed to be here. As we sang the song, "What Would You Be Like?" I was thinking of one phrase that stood out to me was willing to suffer, others to save. That's something that I tend to shy away from, suffering. And we can be thankful that Jesus Christ did not suffer, shy away from suffering to save us. And we need to be like that, to let our own selves be crucified. So we're beginning a new Bible study this morning. Didn't share the topic with you. I was afraid that maybe none of you would show up. So if I do so. First of all, there's a few verses in verse in Timothy and a verse in Titus. Maybe a few verses. First Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 4. Neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. In Titus we have basically the same words. Chapter 3, verse 9. Void foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Does anybody have any, first of all, if you're here and able to talk, you're, I guess we'll say you're expected to share your thoughts. What was Paul referring to when he was talking about the endless genealogies that we are to shy away from? Any ideas, any suggestions? If you see anybody raise their hand, Jared, just go ahead with the mic. I'm not necessarily going to see. If there is no comment on that, the topic we'd like to I'd like to study a bit is Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, which you probably have guessed is a list of genealogies. So that's why I was afraid that you might not show up. You thought it'd be too boring to get here. So we're not necessarily going to study the genealogies, but more follow through and there's some in these in the list of the ancestry or whatever the ancestry or the genealogy that stand out to us, and they immediately ring out to us, and others are hardly ever mentioned in the Bible. And so what you might just do is follow along, and if there's any ones, we're not going to get too far in it today, but I'd like to give you the opportunity to look at this and study out interesting points about some of the things in the ancestry, about how everything was pointing to the Messiah. If there's something else that you run into that doesn't necessarily pertain to this, that's fine, we can go there too, but these chapters will set the parameters where we will always refer back to stay on track. These, if we look at the one in Matthew, dates back to Abraham, and the one in Luke dates back to Adam. Does anybody have any comments on why that might be? Lawrence here.
In Matthew, they start with Abraham and go to Jesus or Joseph. And in Luke, they go the other way. So they just keep going back from Abraham all the way back to Adam.
That's correct. One is backward and the other is going forward from Abraham. The other is going back from Jesus. There's a lot of things that might be assumptions, and it doesn't matter that much. Personally, I don't have that much of an idea. The commentator Adam Clark pointed out that maybe Matthew was writing to Jews most or more, and Luke was writing to Gentiles, and the promise of the Messiah to the Gentiles was given to Adam, and the promise to the Jews was given to Abraham. If that's a valid point or not, may or may not be. If you have any Brother Mike, good at the front here.
I think that part of this would have been Matthew trying to convince the Jews of the divinity of Jesus. They all were very familiar with Abraham and God's promise to Abraham. God's promise to David that a Redeemer and that the Messiah would come through them. And so I think that's why it started there and listed all of David's descendants that ended up being the forebearers of Jesus. And that was something the Jews would have understood. And the Gentiles really had no clue about that and didn't care about it, didn't mean anything to them.
Thank you. Anybody else? which would underscore the fact that, or would kind of come from the same angle that Matthew was writing to the Jews and Luke was writing to Gentiles. Okay. The other thing that we will notice if we study them is that they aren't the same. Going forward from King David, the genealogies don't match in Matthew and in Luke. Does anybody have any suggestions as to why that might be?
I've been trying to find it here. But I think perhaps that Luke, I'm not sure which is which, that's what I've been trying to find, but I think perhaps one of the gospel writers follows the family tree of Mary, and another one follows the family tree of Joseph. I know in Luke it says in verse 3:23, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. And then he goes into the genealogy. So I'm not sure if Luke would be speaking of Joseph, and Matthew perhaps of Mary, but I don't know.
Edward, you've got something more to say on that, or?
I don't either know. I didn't study that, but I thought also maybe what Ray had, but I thought also perhaps it's you can follow the same family tree using different children's names, and possibly it was even traced through when the kingdom was divided. There were different men with the same names, so it depends which tree was followed down would have different names for the children as well.
I see somebody shaking his head back there, and I've said we expect you to share your thoughts, so I guess Steve, if Ray's done, I'll get you to. Were you shaking your head? No, you weren't. Okay.
I might have been. On the inside, I was shaking my head.
You were.
Okay. I was, actually, yeah.
I wasn't looking at you.
I don't think it actually showed. But I think that the genealogies actually differ at David. The one genealogy has David's son Nathan, and the other genealogy has Rehoboam. So,
okay. Anybody else? That is true. If you follow them back, one goes back to Nathan, and one goes back to Solomon. The one line, both David's sons. One goes back to Nathan, and the line in Matthew follows all the kings of Judah, and the line in Luke doesn't. So if you follow the line in Matthew, it will take you to all of the kings of Judah. If you follow the line in Luke, I don't believe you'll find much information on the line going forward from David. Those names that are in there aren't mentioned outside of the genealogies in the book. That's what I found. I'm open to be corrected. Any other suggestions as to the differences? If one is of Mary and one is from Joseph, which is which still remains a question. And if you don't have any opinions on that, then we'll just go with mine. But if you have opinions on that, then you're free to share. Matt.
I would take the one in Luke to be Mary's, probably because of the wording. There in verse 23, as well as I did see in one commentary, I don't remember where it was, that in the one of the Jewish writings, that it lists Mary as the son of that Heli, or however you say that, where here it says, where it calls Joseph his son. So it would be calling Joseph his son-in-law, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Mike.
I was trying to remember sort of something similar to what Matt was saying, but I think he must have got what I was trying to get, and I think that's right.
Ray.
Okay, I'd just like to have it clarified then. Like in Luke 23, Luke 3:23. I'm quite willing to accept that. When it says Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, and then the as was supposed, indicates that he married into this family. Is that the... Because the way I have read it seemed sensible to me, was Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed of Joseph. He was the son of God. Joseph had nothing to do with his conception, but people assumed that he was Joseph's son. And you see that in other Gospels or in other accounts as well, where they say, we know this man. Is he not the son of Joseph the carpenter? And like, we know his family. He's claiming to be the son of God, but we know who this man is.
Question. If you go to Matthew, why would you believe that the one in Matthew is any different, I guess? Where it says that Jacob was the father of Joseph.
One thing that the Jews did well is preserve records of their genealogies, and I'm not sure that me reading this morning can tell the difference, because I don't know who a lot of those men were, but there are people that do, and that's where I think we can actually go by the commentaries, because there is record of this, and there's people that do have a lot better idea than us just reading this list of names and trying to see if we recognize them.
Anybody else?
Maybe a little different twist. I think the significance in them is, I think the significance in the difference is something you've mentioned before, and that's that in Matthew that all the they touch on all the kings of the line of Judah, and in Luke they don't. I actually think that's the significant part of this.
Okay. I haven't given you my opinion yet, but you've probably been able to pick that up by now. Personally, I believe that Luke chapter 3 is referring to Mary's line, and Matthew chapter 1 is referring to Joseph's. And I'm not here to stamp on that. To me, it doesn't make that much. We'll go forward, and I think it is interesting, but looking at it that way, but that particular point. Maybe not necessarily, but is it in Matthew where it mentions 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah? What is the what is that referring to, or what? Why is that written, I guess? Any ideas to that? In studying this, seems that the Jews had a sort of system to establish a genealogy. They needed 2 times 7. The 2 times the number 7 was, that's what they required to consider it to be legit. If at any time you disagree with anything, that's why we welcomed you to be here, I guess. We expect you to share that. Another thing that I want any of you that are interested to research is, so we've got a line of genealogy going down from David and following the line of kings, and we have another one that is following the line of Nathan, descending out of Nathan. And then at the Babylonian exile, we have Zerubbabel we have the name Zerubbabel in both genealogies. And that's another thing that if you draw a family tree, either it can't be. either it is not the same Zerubbabel, or there is an, it doesn't follow the normal pattern of a family tree. Let's just go there. Shealtiel in verse 12 of Matthew was the father of Jehoiachin, and that was the and Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. In Luke chapter 3, Zerubbabel was also the son of Shealtiel, but Shealtiel was the son of Neri. And you're welcome to either comment on that or study it out before you comment, or just decide to ignore it, whatever you prefer to do.
One thought that I have with some of the different names is that translations could affect the names. I don't know that I have any view that that's what's going on, but I know that some names can be translated, like Jesus and Joshua, I believe, are the same original name back in the day, and we would never, well, we don't really think of the same name when we think Jesus or Joshua. So that could play into some of these things. I don't know if the original texts would end up having some same names or not, but that's just a thought I have.
Any others? You are right. And we actually find that quite a bit in these here. The King James Version, I have them side by side, and the New Living Translation gives the names here similar to those that are in the Old Testament, and the King James Version gives variant spellings of them. And there's quite a few. The one in Shealtiel's father is different. It's not a variant spelling. That one in particular is not just a variant spelling. So if you were to go through the list here, what are some names that would just stick out to you? Just at a flash. What are some names that stand out to you? Starting at, well, if we take the one in Luke, we can go backwards. We have Adam. Just on a whim, there's some that stand out to us, and there is some that don't mean a whole lot to us.
Adam, Joseph, Obed, David, Zerubbabel, and Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Any others besides that list? Or including that list? Whatever. Rahab and Ruth, what's significant about them? Can you tell us what's significant about them? That's right, Rahab and Ruth. There is, in these genealogies, there is four women named. I believe there's four. So there's two more. Anybody know the other? Two? Just offhand? Bathsheba, Rahab, Ruth, and one more. Tamar, that's right. And that's right. Like Lucinda shared, Ruth and Bathsheba, or Ruth and were the first two. What's the other one? Rahab. They were Gentile women. They were not of the Jewish. They were not of the Jewish. Jewish people. So I'm not sure if. Ray, if you had mentioned Boaz in your list or not, another one. This kind of interesting if you look into it. Any others? Maybe we will. So as you look at this and follow along, just think about the different promises that God made to some of those in this line, and what he was speaking about in his promises. And how it was fulfilled in Christ. To get right into that, different covenants he made with people, we might leave that because we weren't pre-informed of the topic. Maybe we'll just leave it at that for today. Is there anybody who has anything to share yet on that? Sure.
You don't need to answer it if you'd rather not, but you made a point of telling us that it is not a difference, it is not just a translative circumstance that the father of Zerubbabel and Shealtiel. So, I mean, are you going to tell us about that sometime? Or?
Well, do you believe it is? If it is, if it is, then it would have to follow along the same. I'm not positive on that. I am fairly sure on that, but if you believe that's some commentators believe this is a different Zerubbabel, and it's not the same one. Others believe there's one that I've read into believes it is the same. It's the same man. I personally can't see it being the same man with a different ancestry. I guess Adam Clark uses the same type of reasoning in that particular incident as he does at the end or at the beginning with Joseph being the son of two people. I guess it'd be like saying Ray Metzger, you're the son of Leonard, and you're also the son of Vernon by being a son-in-law makes you a son also. Take your preference, either speak or don't speak, I guess.
Now that I have the mic, I'll say my piece beforehand. I haven't studied this out much myself, but I just wanted to read something that somebody else wrote about that. So I'm taking their word for it. If you disagree, then you can say so. But apparently, at least for this person, he says there is no Greek word for son-in-law. And so when it says that Joseph was the son of Heli by marriage to Mary. Maybe I'll just go back a little bit further. His suggestion would be that Luke is recording Mary's genealogy and Matthew is recording Joseph's. Matthew is following the line of Joseph, Jesus' legal father, through David's son Solomon, while Luke is following the line of Mary, Jesus' blood relative, through David's son Nathan. Since there is no Greek word for son-in-law, Joseph was called the son of Heli by marriage to Mary, Heli's daughter. Through either Mary's or Joseph's line, Jesus is a descendant of David and therefore eligible to be the Messiah. Tracing a genealogy through the mother's side is unusual, but so was the virgin birth. Luke's explanation is that Jesus was the son of Joseph, so it was thought.
Okay. We read the verses that we read at the beginning. Let's keep those in mind. If we're just striving about genealogies, our studying won't be any good. But next time, we're going to go a little further and actually looking at some of the promises and the covenants that he made to these people and how they followed through in the Bible. So.